Well, hey, y'all, welcome to Dive Bar Music Club, the low-key, high-taste happy hour for music nerds. This is a special episode with just me, Sloane Spencer. I just got back from my favorite music festival, Albino Skunk Music Fest, in the upstate of South Carolina, a festival I've been to more than a dozen times at this point. Absolutely love it. This year was announced as the final spring edition of the Skunk Fest. And over the years, it has been a fall private party, added on Spring Skunk Fest, and now going back to a fall-only event. Back when I first started going, it was Albino Skunk Bluegrass Music Festival. And over the years, it evolved to include other genres of music as well, but it all fits together. It's all spearheaded by the wizard Zig, who pulls together the most amazing lineup every single year. One of my favorite things about it has always been discovery of new-to-me artists or folks that I have never gotten to see in this particular capacity. So this year, several longtime favorites on the bill, including the legendary Daryl Scott. But I love some Daryl Scott. And boy, do I love a Daryl Scott set at Albino Skunk Music Festival. He brings a legendary trio of players, including Jeff Sipe on drums. Oh yeah, that guy. Just incredible. And this year was absolutely spectacular. I wanted to focus a little bit this time on a couple of my favorites who played Albino Skunk Music Fest this year. One, a group I discovered at that festival a few years ago called King Margo, a duo of women who typically work as the backing players for other artists, particularly Jason Eady. If you're familiar with Texas Red Dirt and that sort of music, you probably know Jason Eady, and also often tour and record with Gabe Lee out of Nashville, who I also love quite well. So I was excited to hear King Margo play, as their solo sets are really different than the records they've released so far. So I was real excited to get to talk with both of them, and I'll bring you a quick conversation backstage from the green room while the festival was going on. So yeah, there's a lot going on, people coming in and out of the green room, all sorts of stuff. But we did have a great chat, and boy, am I excited for what they have coming up in the next couple years. If you get a chance to see King Margo solo, 100% recommend it. And little side note, Jason Eady, you're fantastic. Loved hanging out with you. I also get a chance to talk with one of my absolute longtime favorite people in music, Aaron Lee Tasjan. Aaron was literally driving in, doing the set, and hitting the road for a long road to the final show of his over month-long tour that he had been on. So we actually needed to catch up recently by telephone. And if you're not familiar with Aaron Lee Tasjan, he has topped the Sirius XM Outlaw Country charts lately, and is just one of my all-time favorite people. Really excited for his upcoming record, which is on pre-order right now, so we'll add that conversation we had earlier this week as well. Meanwhile, we're kind of on summertime schedule. Everybody's got a lot going on, so we do have episodes coming at you on the 5th and 20th of each month, but they may follow a slightly different format. We'll have to see how it goes. So let's jump right in. I'm Sloane Spencer. This is Dive Bar Music Club, the low-key, high-taste happy hour for music nerds. And we're hanging out actually in the green room at Albino Skunk Music Festival, which is pretty fun for me for a band, King Margo, who I first saw here a couple of years ago and awkwardly stopped them as they were loading up their vehicle to head back out to another show. So if y'all would take a second just to introduce yourselves individually, and then I'm looking forward to hearing what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, hello, hello. My name is Rachel Coates. I play bass, guitar, mandolin, sing in King Margo, and...
Hello, I am Luciana Costa. I play guitar, piano, slide guitar, and write a lot of the songs for King Margo. I do the words. I'm the word girl.
With King Margo, I follow y'all on Apple Music, and you've had quite a number of singles come out since the last record. What's going on for y'all in the world of what's up?
This is a great question. I will start, and please fill in the gaps. So we put out a record in 2022 called Waters Rise with Torres Music Group, and our buddy Gabe Lee helped to produce that, and he was also a featured artist on it. We hit the ground running touring-wise pretty hard after that, and we had a couple of tunes in the kitty on the single front that we were going to put out, but we ended up kind of realizing we needed to regroup and reassess how we were going to approach doing it after that, because we did like a 3-month tour that just absolutely kicked our asses. Yeah. And we're like, okay, let's take a beat. So we ended up not releasing anything else after that record until summer of 2024. Mm-hmm. And we put out a tune called Animal that was still with TMG. And then since then, we've been like slow releasing a number of singles independently on our own. That's been actually a lot of fun to kind of do all that stuff ourselves.
And there was one in like March.
Yes. Yeah. We put out a song called Game Over in March. And yeah, it's just been really cool to like have full control of the creative process from beginning to end. And we are going to make another record. We have been talking about it like probably within a year or so. But yeah, it's just been really fun to kind of like, you know, we've been road dogging so hard in multiple bands in addition to doing our own stuff as King Margo, and to kind of take the time to just from conception, record the song, figure out the art direction. Like, we have a bunch of really talented friends, and like, it's just been really cool to kind of have it be a thing per song, to really take the time to do it in a way that we haven't had the time to do it because we've been on the road so much. So yeah, it's just been, it's been really fun.
It's a little more kind of seasonal slash cyclical in terms
of and that's actually been awesome to do it that way. And I want to go back to Waters Rise, the record, for a second and talk about how grateful I am that we had that opportunity to put that out. And it was very educational for how music is being released on a higher level. Not like mainstream, but we had some like playlisting success, which was, you know, that's really all we could hope for what we were trying to do at the time. But what we noticed was putting a full length out really caused other songs that we cared deeply about to suffer. They didn't get the proper attention that they needed for the way that the rollout of the record ended up happening. So we learned a lot from that, and we've decided to like fully invest in ourselves and take the time and the energy to get the arrangements right, to get the recordings right, and actually spend time and resources to promote it the way that we want to and have quality content that we like to go along with it.
Yeah, it's well said.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
So with, I know that y'all were working extensively on the road for a pretty long period of time when it came right down to it. And, you know, for some folks, they come off the road and they feel like that's inspiring. And for a lot of folks, it's more like, okay, this is just like decompression time. And then there's that arc where it starts to go back up again. And so what, if anything, were y'all listening to in this kind of coming into your own newer phase? Because to me, sonically, I feel like, especially the song that came out in March, there's some new things coming out that I've seen from you play live, but not so much from the record a few years ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. What were we listening to? That's a really good question. I'm not sure it's 100% had an influence on what we're putting out right now, but I got really into Margaret Glasby in 2024. Like, truly, both of us just, like, absolutely fell in love with her music.
She's really good.
Yeah. We did start working with a new producer for Game Over, which we, the one that we put out in March, and then the next three that we're about to put out. So we've been working with Roger Allen Nichols.
Oh, yeah. I know that name.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's so, so great. He has done most of Larkin Poe's stuff and Hayley Williams.
Yeah.
Yep. So like, he knows what to do with a female duo.
Yeah.
So we felt very safe. Yeah. We were like, let's do this. Like, proof of concept. He knows what to do with two ladies.
Because sonically, they also have a lot of range and can do a lot of different things.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear there's someone who can.
What's been really fun about it is he's been kind of adamant that we have to do everything ourselves, which sounds kind of silly.
Every instrument except drums.
We haven't, obviously, we're not drummers. Luch is actually a pretty great cajon player. If you happen to catch a show with Gabe Lee, you might see her on cajon. I know. You I've saw it happen today.
I've seen some percussion here. Hold up.
I can hold a rhythm down, but I can't do multiple drums.
Sure.
It's too much for me.
Well, and for a record, it requires somebody that can really lock
really
it in.
It's a concept.
Yeah. So he loves that we play all of the instruments. Right. Like, I play bass and guitar and can handle acoustic and electric and mandolin. Like, those are kind of like my main staples. And then Luch can handle like slide guitar, dobro, keys, and whatever guitar stuff she might have to do. So between the two of us, we cover a pretty broad spectrum of sonic landscaping. So he's been pretty adamant that everything that we do is us. Now, that being said, yes, we've had a couple of drummers lay down the drum tracks for us. And then also we brought in a saxophone player to throw down on one of the covers that we're going to be releasing later this year.
Sweet Max Abrams from the Mavericks. We met him on Kayamo a couple years ago, and he's become such a dear friend of ours, and he just ripped it on this song. Yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, that's so nice. Kayamo brings just a totally, like, not the same vibe as here at Albino Skunk Fest, but it's nice that you can have your own space.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny when you said that, that's the first thing I thought of, because both Kayamo's, like, there was just a haze afterwards for like 2 weeks of just like, I probably wrote more songs in those 2 weeks than I did most of the rest of the year. Cause there's just this like wave of inspiration from just being around such high quality folks for that long. And it's such an insulated bubble. Like even just the jams at night, you're like, you see these amazing shows and then you gather in the artist lounge and there's a grand piano in there and people are just like going off. It's just, oh my God. Yeah. We've been really, really lucky to get to go a couple of years. It's so fun.
Is there a timeline or for potential upcoming release, like 2027 maybe?
We're definitely going to put at least one, if not two, possibly three tunes out this year. The ones that we've got in the can right now. The one, the first one we're going off this batch of three that we just got done recording. It's pretty much done mixing. We have to send to mastering. We've pretty much got the artwork sorted out on what we're going to do. We just shot a music video for it last weekend. It's called Tinfoil Profiteers. We started our set with that today at Spring Skunk. That one's going to be probably early July. I think we haven't officially set the date because it's not 100% done yet, but that's the goal. And then we'll see how that goes. And then, I don't know, we kind of just play it two or 3 months at a time is kind of a good window to kind of like keep the algorithm happy. And also your fans happy too, obviously. But yeah, we're hoping to slow drip these next three out. And then we want to record three other tunes that we've had in the can for a while that we have to do at some point this year. And then we're hoping for a full length release of all of this next year. That's the goal. But yeah, we're a self-run operation, so we can decide whenever we're going to do it.
The timeline's slow and the budget is low, but we're having a good time.
So if you all could just like pick like a couple of buddies musically to hang out with and play some music for just because you wanted to do it for the evening, who would you choose?
Yeah, I know. It's like my answer is everyone we do get to play with, which is really sweet. And I feel very lucky to say that. It's like even our buddy Jason Eady, who's here with us, like he's just got an off day. And I'm like him and Gabe and, and Susan Werner is an artist that we work with a few times a year when we're lucky enough to get to. Do you know her at all? Oh, my God. She's amazing. She's like, you know how to, she's in the folk world, but she's just so much more. She's like brilliant songwriting and like jazzy arrangements, and she just has such a mastery of like several different genres. And
oh, and she's a comedian too.
My God,
she's very funny. Her timing is incredible. Not only is she just like a virtuoso guitar player and a piano player and an elite songwriter, she's just, she's got her thumb on the pulse of what's happening and does it with such grace and a sense of humor at the same time. And her live show is, nobody's doing it the way she does. You definitely need to check her out.
Oh my God, 100%. And I will say probably John Fulbright. I would put him on the list because we did get to jam with him at Mile Zero this year. He played keys on Jason's set. And we were in Jason's band, and it was like, there was, I've never felt so like telepathically connected.
I don't know him personally, but I was at Americana Fest more than 15 years ago and met him playing in a hallway, and we were all just sitting in the hall. I don't know what was, I don't remember the context, but I was like, yeah, John Fulbright in the hallway. Of course, that's what we were doing. Like, and so that for whatever reason, that memory is still there forever.
Like album title.
Yeah, right. Like, and, like I remember.
In the hallway, baby.
And there were a whole bunch of us just chilling in the hall for some reason. I don't even remember why, but.
That's magic.
What fun. So y'all were saying that you've got this upcoming song that you opened the set with today. And are there any special plans for getting that out there?
I mean, we went all in on a music video. I'll be honest, like,
I know.
We put one really, like, it wasn't high budget. It's high budget for an independent artist. We put out a music video for the Gum song last year with the same film producer guy. But for this one, he brought his buddy out, and we did, We went really hard on this video.
We storyboarded this one.
Yeah. So it, to answer your question, it's the music video. And awesome. The music yeah. video is the thing to keep an eye out for yeah. because there's a guest character
excellent.
In this that I'm not going to name any names.
Gotta, wait and see it.
I'm going to have to check it out. Yeah.
So speaking of the Gump song, excuse me, if y'all are fans of King Margo, definitely go to their website and check out their merch because the t-shirts are spectacular and there's a couple of different versions of them and I don't want to give anything away, but you need to just buy those, order them, have them shipped to your house. It's totally worth doing. So just a little side note for
thank
everybody.
Highly appreciate that
no,
shout out.
No, like big fan
we,
of a shirt.
You take our merch very seriously.
Big fan of a shirt, of a merch that's a shirt, not yeah. just like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, big fan.
We do take our merch very seriously too. Oh, that's been the cool thing about having the time to think through the details of everything that we're putting our name on. It's just cool. It's a privilege to get to do that because it's fun. Sure. It's not like, oh, I don't want to do that. Like, that's not music. So, you know, not really interested in that. It's like, it's all part of the same thing. Yeah. It's just...
And frankly, if people are going to actually wear the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's helpful if it's not like letters, you know. Just saying, yeah, this is not
exactly.
a visual podcast, thank God.
It's going to be a fashion statement.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, don't.
Only towards her boobs.
Yeah.
I know. You, when you said boobies. It wasn't, I was like, oh, thank God. Oh, no, voice only.
Towards her boobs. We'll bring to the table. Yeah.
God. For anyway. Our listeners out there.
Set them up on the edge.
Anyway. We bring that to the table occasionally.
Right, all day, every day. Why didn't they let me come on? I know. So I'm going to now. But Luciana and Rachel of King Margo, I do appreciate y'all taking the time and hanging out here at Albino Skunk Fest. Very much enjoyed your set. We were specifically making sure we got here early enough to catch it again this time aww. Around. So
thank you
much.
So much for having us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Take care.
Thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure. Take
yes.
care.
Yes. Thanks, Sloan.
Oh my gosh, y'all. What fun. I just got back home from Albino Skunk Music Festival. You know it's my favorite music festival, and I always talk about it on whatever I am doing. And this year, one of my all-time favorite musicians, favorite humans, was playing one of the biggest sets of the weekend, and it was spectacular. Aaron Lee Tashjian, man, it was so good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you too, while riding a tractor, no less.
It was fun, and your set was spectacular. One of the most fun things for me, because I've not gotten to see you live in a while, was that you've got brand new music coming out that is fantastic from what I've gotten to hear. But I also love when you do a set, how you rework and refresh more experienced songs as well. What the heck have you been up to?
Well, this has been a season of change
for sure
for me. And, you know, a lot of it at first sad, you aww. Know, some of it even straight up heartbreaking. But like so many things in life, you sort of see as you're going through the process of it, the ways in which it also benefits you and makes you more resilient and mm-hmm. all of the good stuff that comes along with the inevitability of change. And, and it's really taught me, I think more than anything, just to try and embrace that part of it as much as I can. Certainly you got to feel your feelings while you're going through all of it. But, you know, I've really dug into just a metric heck ton of self-care and really been feeling like I'm coming out on the other side of it, you know, more resilient and focused and clearer, I think, than I've ever been. And it's kind of crazy, but I feel like it's affected the show in all sorts of ways that I didn't expect, where I kind of almost feel like I'm able to step into that stage persona and just kind of like, so I felt like in the past, sometimes I'd have to sort of warm up into the sweet spot of the set. I don't know if it's just sort of the emotional release that comes with grief or something, but gosh, I feel like I've been able to just kind of walk on stage and just get right down to business pretty much every night. And as a guy that's been doing it for over 20 years now, that feels thrilling.
You touched on so many things that I relate to on different levels. And it's funny, I will jokingly talk with people about stage me versus home me, and home me and sure. stage me are two different people for sure.
Yes.
And I get that. But also in some ways, stage me is sometimes a more real version of me because I get out there and it's not putting on a show because it's not fake, but it's like you can channel something that you can't channel in different ways. And I would say I felt that seeing your performance. It really came through. Grief is so weird. Until I went through recent grief myself, I guess I had never been adult enough to really go through all of that. And like, I was standing at a CVS and just burst into tears when the like 25 feet of receipts came out to me for no reason. But suddenly, like, it all just hit me with this miles and miles of CVS receipt. And I was like, I'm not even sad right now. Why am I bawling in the CVS?
Yes. I can relate. I started wearing sunglasses into the Kroger, you know, and carrying a roll of toilet paper around in the car.
Yes, totally. You're like, I'm not even mad at this red light. I'm fine, I swear.
It's, yeah, I know. It's wild. They say it comes in waves. And my friend Kim Ritchie and I were recently writing a song about this from the perspective of, you know, you kind of think you're over it and you think you finally have just cried enough tears over it, and then, you know, you turn on the radio and there's that song that takes you right back to that place that you thought you were done with, and you feel all those emotions all over again. So that's a brand new song that we're working on. But it's funny. I mean, I get to talk to folks at the shows, you know, at the merch table and stuff like that afterwards, and I don't know if it's just a collective moment in time, but it seems like a lot of folks that I'm meeting are going through a similar thing. And, you know, I've tried to be open about my journey with it all on social media. And a lot of people have said that that's been really helpful to them, which makes me feel good because I really question being on social media about 98% of the time that I'm on there. So finally, 2%, it feels worthwhile, I guess. But I'll take it, you know.
Relatable. Yeah. Wow. I look forward to hearing that with Kim Ritchie. That really does touch on it exactly, because yeah, I think that's so specifically relatable. I had the same experience. Procol Harum came on the radio and I was like, all right, damn it, now I gotta pull my car up.
Yes, I know, I'm trying to go somewhere today.
What
come on
the hell? I don't need whiter shade of pale making me cry on the interstate. This is not cool. But literally, that's what happened.
Oh, I can relate.
Yeah, that is super relatable. Wow. You know, one of the things that I have always appreciated about you and your writing and your performing and just folks that you creatively vibe with is how much you not just learn from mentors, but from your peers, and to share with your peers and other emerging folks. And that always comes through in what you're writing and what you're performing, what you say on stage. Who have you been creatively finding fulfillment with in these last several months?
Man, some real gems of musicians and humans. Aside from the great Kim Ritchie, I had a real sort of red letter moment recently when I was on tour in Atlanta. And, you know, I'm a longtime fan and collaborator with our mutual friend, Mr. Kevin Kinney of Driving and Crying. I knew he was going to be at the show. It was a show that I was doing with the Wallflowers. Nice. They're out on their 30th anniversary tour for bringing down the horse.
How is that even possible?
And I know, doesn't that sound crazy? 30 years, right?
How is that possible? Yeah,
I was like 12 when it came out. But anyway, you know, we were playing the Buckhead Theater, and I knew that Kevin was going to be in the audience that night. He told me he bought it. You know, Kevin Kinney, man, you try to put the guy on the guest list and he's like, oh, I already bought a ticket.
He's such a good dude.
I know, my goodness. But anyway, I knew he was going to be there. So I decided I was going to cover, I was going to like sort of pay a tip of the hat to Kevin and do a little cover of one of my favorite songs of his, Scarred But Smarter. And I was singing the song, and then I heard the place erupt in applause, the whole theater, sold out show. So it was quite a noise. And I thought, well, God, I'm not doing that good. and I turned to my right, and here came Kevin walking out on stage.
Nice.
And ended up turning the song into a duet that we did together. And then at the end of that show, Jacob and the Wallflowers very sweetly asked me to sit in with them and sing a few Tom Petty songs together.
Oh, fun.
So it was quite a quite an evening for 12-year-old me.
You gotta love those moments.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, they're rare, you know, in my experience, they are rare moments, but you know, I've gotten to have a couple of them now, and I really have come to appreciate those things when they happen in a way that I never did before. I think, you know, a lot of it honestly just has to do with my sobriety and really being really present in life in a way that I hadn't always been. And I feel really, really grateful for that.
I am super thrilled for you. That's huge. To make that full circle, Kevin Kinney is the person who many, many, many years ago said to me one time, you know, Sloan, I think you're going to like this kid, Aaron Lee Tashian. You should listen. And I was like, well, yep, you were right. And so the next time I saw him, I was like, yeah, you're right. I like this kid, Aaron Lee Tashian. You're not kidding, man. Fun times. And what an incredible human. You've really kind of found, I don't want to say a new groove, but another level of audience for your music in what has probably been one of the more challenging years, with just some really great radio success for this upcoming record that's on pre-order right now, fixing to come out real soon with Get Over It, Underdog. Tell me a little bit more about this record and the folks that helped you bring it to the world.
Yeah, it kind of started out as just one song. You know, I had written the song Science Friction, and there was just, you know, at first I thought I was, well, the way that the song actually initially got recorded was my friend Steve Dawson, who is an incredible musician, Canadian musician who lives here in Nashville, and producer, songwriter, the whole nine yards. He was teaching a class about recording to some students at Belmont and was asking me if I had any songs that I had not recorded, if I could come in and we could sort of track a song to sort of show the students how a recording session happens.
Oh, fun.
And when I got over there, the other musicians were, you know, the great Jen Gunderman, who, you know, Sheryl Crow, Rodney Crowell, just an incredible musician, often usually in the Americana Music Association Awards show house band with led by Mr. Buddy Miller and Don was. But yeah, in addition to Jen, John Prine's bass player, Dave Jakes, and a really, really great drummer from here in Nashville by the name of Justin Amaral. And so I had this song Science Friction that I had just recently written and wasn't really sure what to do with. And we laid it down and man, it really came out good. And there was just something about it that I kind of kept going back to for whatever reason. You know, my ultimate litmus test for when I'm not sure, or at least at that time when I wasn't sure if it was as good as I thought it was, I would run it through what to me was like the ultimate songwriting barometer. I would send my stuff to Todd Snyder.
Nice.
And I would say, hey man, I think there's something here. What do you think? You know, and because we kind of had that relationship a little bit, you know, when Todd signed to John Prine's label, Oh Boy Records, you know, John and Todd had that a little bit where John would kind of listen to Todd's songs and give him feedback on them. And I had sort of asked Todd at one point if he would do that for me, and he said, yeah, man. So I sent him Science Friction, and the email I got back is pinned to my refrigerator.
I'm so glad.
Because it really, I mean, he loved the song, you know, and he'd always been supportive of me, but he was complimentary of it in a way that sort of made me think like, man, maybe this song is even better than I thought it was. And that got me thinking about, you know, how to hang a record. You know, sometimes it's like songs are like, you know, little tent poles, and you can sort of figure out how to put the whole circus up, you know, once you once you have your tent poles going. And that song was definitely one of those. And so I just started writing up a storm, and I got all of my favorite musicians from the neighborhood in East Nashville and set up a studio in my house, you know, and I had Jen Gunderman and Audley Freed and Jimmy Bolin and Fred Eltringham and Kim Ritchie and Brian Wright, and my friend LeFembert came in from Oakland.
Nice.
My longtime best friend, one of my favorite musicians in the entire planet, Ricky. And yeah, and I'm co-produced the record with my longtime sound man and road manager, Mark Miller.
Nice.
Who I've known since I was 15 years old.
I didn't wrong know. Song.
So it was really just kind of the, you know, the neighborhood, the family affair, so to speak, you know, coming in and playing their hearts out on it. And I made everybody Italian sandwiches for lunch, and and we just had a great time and ended up recording, I think, you know, 17 or 18 songs in about 5 days. And then that got pared down to 11. And I love what we came up with. And Ricky and her best friend, Van Darien, who's another really great artist from Texas.
Yeah.
They did all the album artwork and helped me build a set in the house. Cause you know, we got to film all this content now. And so we built our house into some sort of crazy psychedelic garden and made a bunch of content there, and it was really, really a fun experience of just working with my friends. And I remember talking to the great author and musician Warren Zanes on the phone at one point. He had called me up and we were talking about Tom Petty, you know. Tom had passed away not that long before Warren had called me a couple of years, and we were talking about the crux of a great band. And Warren was kind of saying at one point he had told Tom that he was going to like form a band of hot studio musicians in LA and you know, and just kind of get all the best guys that he could. And he said Tom was just like, man, it's not really done that way. You got to get your buddy, you know, you've known for 30 years and, you know, and everybody's just kind of three musketeers, all for one and one for all kind of vibes. And that's what makes music where you can really feel the love and the care that was put into it. And that's what we did. And I just love what we came up with. And in a certain way, I'm always surprised when something good happens. But in another way, on this record, I'm not as surprised that it is taken off at radio and all that kind of stuff, because I do feel like I sort of hit a new level, you know, on this record. And it's been just a thrill to see people embracing it the way that they have.
I think that's the thing that's most exciting for me, because it's instantly identifiable that this is 100% Aaron Lee Tazjian. But the thing is, for me, is that it's so many new people. It was fun to sit at a festival, but the people around me were like, yeah, man, I just heard his first song, Science Friction. And they were like telling me all about it, like it was this brand new thing. And I was like, yeah, man, it's awesome. I am not going to bust their bubble one bit, you know? But it was great. They'd made this discovery and I was like, hell yeah.
I love it. 20 year overnight success.
Exactly. And their enthusiasm was just so worth it. And I was like, glad you're here, even if you just got here last night. It's all good, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But so the record is on pre-order. If folks want to get in on making sure they have their own copy of Get Over It, Underdog, what should they be doing?
Just go to www.aaronleetastian.com, and it's going to pop right up on the screen there. And if you pre-order the album, you're going to get an advance listen of it immediately, of the whole thing. So.
Aha.
There's a good incentive to do it, but
recommend.
We're following suit of a few different folks that I really admire. Sturgill Simpson certainly comes to mind, but we're actually the physical only that's coming out this month in May. So we're sort of delaying the release of the music to Spotify and those places in favor of giving people the physical product first, and trying to encourage folks to visit their local record store and support independent musicians in a way that ultimately benefits the support system that exists for independent musicians. Because we do talk a lot about supporting the musicians themselves, which is very important, but we can't forget about these incredibly important small venues, these incredibly important independent labels and distributors and radio stations and radio promoters, publicists, you know, all these folks work together to bring us some of the most soulful and heartfelt music that's out there nowadays. And not that there's anything wrong with anybody that is on a major label or any of that kind of stuff. All that music is really cool too. But I think there is something special that comes from those small local music scenes. And I'm very proud to be a part of that world. And I would just encourage folks to support it in whatever way they can, whether that's pre-ordering the record or going to their local record store and buying it or buying a ticket to a show. You know, we try really hard on our tour to play as many independent venues as we can and not be doing Ticketmaster and all that kind of stuff. So we really encourage folks to come check out the gigs and support the whole local music scene.
Absolutely. And so check that out. We'll have the link for Erin Lee Tazian's website in our show notes. And just kind of wrapped up a lot of time on the road. And I know you've got some dates throughout the summer and then another massive late summer Euro tour. So, you know, safe travels to you and congratulations on the early success of some of these releases off of the record. I do encourage people to go ahead and do that pre-order because I wasn't sure if I was supposed to say how I had those songs or not.
No, you absolutely can.
I was like, am I supposed to say that? Is that everybody or was that just me? I'm not sure. I can't remember.
Well, you are special, but no, yes, everybody can have access if they want.
Yeah, here's the magic, y'all. Buy the record. That's what happens. Erin Lee Tazian, I really am so genuinely thrilled for you and cannot wait for folks to get to hear what's been going on and glad that I finally got to catch a show again. So thank you for your time.
Always so good to see you.
My pleasure. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
As always, thanks so much for hanging out with us here at Dive Bar Music Club. Do us a huge favor and give us a 5-star rating and review in your favorite podcast app. If you could leave a kind comment, boy, that makes a huge difference in helping other people find their new favorite band, festival, or venue. Keep it safe, y'all, and right back with you soon. It's Dive Bar Music Club. That's the last call at Dive Bar Music Club. If you like the hang, follow the show, leave a review, and tell your algorithm, gosh darn it, we're worth it. Better yet, share your favorite episode with a friend who actually stayed for the whole set. See y'all next time for the low-key, high-taste happy hour for music nerds. Hey, y'all, thanks for sliding in the booth with us here at Dive Bar Music Club. I'm Sloane Spencer, a former radio host and the creator of a ton of different podcasts over the years, including another brand new one that is completely different. It's the Gen X Sleep Podcast, Sleep with Rockstars. Subscribe today at sleepwithrockstars.com or your favorite podcast app.